Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me today. That your word go forth out, it does not return void. That it would edify this body. To be strong and courageous in the time in which we live. Have your will in your way today, Lord. Move on the hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 16:13 is the verse today. We're not going to be in Revelation again. I'll pick up Revelation likely next week. But the Lord, as I was praying all week, and Katie didn't know what I was teaching on today, but her message was, or her scripture was spot on. And it's pretty awesome when the Lord confirms things. First Corinthians 16:13. I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living Translation. I normally read New King James Version to you, but I just specifically one verse. It says, "Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong." Why the call? Why the call to do these things? And I think about the events going on in the world right now. And I think about the reality of the birth pangs increasing. And fear this past week kept ringing in my ears. As fear is looking to frame thoughts in your mind to create a stronghold. It's to build a stronghold. A stronghold is like a fortress, right? That's what the enemy wants. That's why some get their conscience seared. That stronghold has taken over. And just looking at the headlines in the news just the last few months, Atlanta shootings strike fear into the Asian American community. Black fungus strikes fear in India as COVID deaths pass 300,000. Los Angeles bemoans a mask mandate while experts urge compliance. What to know about children's risk of infection as the Delta variant spreads? The rise in U.S. COVID cases fueled by unvaccinated misinformation. The CDC director warns of a pandemic of the unvaccinated as COVID cases rise. Do you see the framing happening here? San Diegans beg city to curb violence by homeless. It's like you're living in The Walking Dead. Death toll tops 150 as water recedes from devastating European floods. Hurricane Felicia strengthens into a Category 4 storm over eastern North Pacific. Massive drought nationwide. Lake Mead at an all-time low. Wildfires, excessive heat. The Eiffel Tower reopens. Macron mandates COVID passes required starting next week for all. Biden praises Cuban protesters after Cuba president accuses U.S. of funding demonstrators. How many saw last past week what happened in South Africa? South Africa looting orchestrated. Shadowy forces are increasingly claimed to be behind devastating looting and violence, which has led over to 100 deaths and estimated damage and losses of more than $1 billion in South Africa this past week. How about on the home front? Yellen sees several more months of rapid inflation before easing. Worries about the housing impact. How many have spent more at the gas pump and at the grocery store? Yeah. Faster inflation takes toll on U.S. consumer sentiment in July. Summer's on the consumer price search. Time to worry about inflation. That's in Bloomberg. How about New York Times? Worried about inflation? The experts weigh in. Everything is getting more expensive. Is it time to worry? Inflation keeps building in the U.S., the U.K. Stocks slide as coronavirus inflation worries. Fed's Powell concedes anxiety about higher inflation but resists policy shift. These are just some of the headlines, folks. the unrest in the world. I told Steve yesterday, we were at having dinner, and I said, you know, the U.S. just moved 22 stealth fighters over to the Pacific front. And they're going to do an operation, a war games exercise over by China. And just for perspective, they've done war games before. Normally they move 6 stealth fighters. They've moved 22, which is more than the fleet that the Chinese government has on hand. It's a saber-rattling exercise is what it is. And the headlines I'm sharing with you, Jesus said these things are going to happen as his coming would draw near. At the end of an age, Luke 21, when I think about this, it says in verse 25 and 26, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now I go back to the opening text. You hear that, and you, beloved, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong. Be on guard means that you are to be aware. Guards are watching for something. They're anticipating something. They're on the watchtower looking. Stand firm in the faith. Why? Why is the call to stand firm in the faith if it's just so easy? Just believe and then everything will be all right. That's not true. Remember last week, the foundation built upon? If it's on the rock, then you could stand firm during the storm. If your foundation is not on the rock, you will be swept away. No matter how things may look, or if we do not know what to do in a situation, we can always have courage because we can trust the Lord's promises. We spent a lot of time last week about trusting in the Lord. And I think about Joshua as he was preparing the Israelites to take the promised land. And what was he told? In Joshua 1:6, it says, be strong and of good courage. Strong in the Hebrew is chazak, which is to fasten upon, to seize, to bind, to restrain, to conquer, to confirm, to be constant, to encourage, to be established, to make hard, to hold fast, to lean, to maintain, to play the man, to mend, become mighty, prevail. All these different words. Strengthen, to be stout, to take hold, to be urgent, to behave self-valiantly, and to withstand. And courage is not far from that. Of all mats in Hebrew is to be on alert, physically, on foot, or mentally. To confirm, to be courageous, to establish, to fortify, to harden, to increase, to prevail, to strengthen self, to make strong. They complement one another. And so where do you draw your strength from? Is it your own means? Or are you drawing your strength from the Lord? Because he comes and helps you. In Psalms 121, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon the right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day. I think about that seed, right? In Mark 4, where the sun, it withers away, it crumbles away. Nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and evermore. Paul was well acquainted. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, he was talking about the thorn in his side. And we don't know what that thorn was. But the Lord responded, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am. The I am is strong. He resides inside you, the third part of the Godhead. Our strength is nothing but when we are surrendered and trusting in Him, then His might and His strength kicks in. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." We are at war, and it is a spiritual warfare, folks. We must be strong in Him who overcame everything. God approves of good courage. It's a call for us, beloved, to be of good courage, for His will to be accomplished. In Deuteronomy 31, 6 through 8, it says, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that does go with thee, and He will not fail you, nor forsake you." And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all of Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto the fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it, and the Lord, He it is that goes before thee, He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, do not be dismayed." In verse 23, he says, "Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore unto them, and I will be with thee." I will be with you. I gave you a promise, and I will be with you because I honor my promises. God is faithful to His promises. In 1 Chronicles 28:20, David says to Solomon, "Be strong and of good courage." Do you hear the theme here? Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. You have a destination, folks. You have a calling upon you that the Lord wants to work through you. And you will fulfill that purpose until the time when your appointed time comes to an end. Do you understand? You have an appointed time, and until that time, you continue on. Be of good courage. Don't fade away. Press forward. This body is important for the times in which we live, because God uses believers, the body, to instill courage and to encourage one another. Going back into Deuteronomy again, verse 1, chapter 1, 38, "Joshua the son of Nun, which stands before thee, he shall go in there, encourage him." He's telling him Moses, "for he shall cause Israel to inherit it." Moses was told by God to encourage Joshua, even though Moses was not going to get to go to the promised land. Right? Because he smelt the rock. How many times does God tell us to encourage someone or for you to be courageous? Are you listening? We got to act out of obedience. We got to obey. That might just make the difference for someone in their life. In chapter 3, verse 28, it says, "But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before his people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which I see." Joshua is this picture of strength, right? He's the strength, the strong character in the Bible. But even the strongest need encouragement. Paul asked for more boldness. Are you kidding me? He prayed and asked for more boldness. The strongest need encouragement. There's days when we're weary, we're battle-worn, and prayer to strengthen. Look around you. Think about this body. Think about those who maybe they think they got things under control, but they really don't. We all need to pray for the body. We're all part of a body, and when one part hurts, the whole body should hurt. They should feel that. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Sounds like stand firm, doesn't it? For he is faithful that has promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We see that day approaching. If you've been in this ministry listening, the warnings are constantly being shared with you. That day is approaching. Ready or not, the Lord is coming. You understand that? Ready or not, the Lord is coming. We need to be courageous and encourage one another. We need to be steadfast. We battle in the world, and we come back together on a Sunday morning to edify one another, to build each other up in the Lord, to spend time praising and worshiping. Can't always do that while you're in the middle of work, right? But you can still give glory to the Lord. In the back of your mind, you raise that hallelujah when you need to. Because God strengthens the heart of each and every one here, the believer, and is with us until the end. So show good courage. Psalm 31:24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. Matthew 28:20. He's teaching us to observe all things. Jesus, whosoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. He doesn't leave us. He's with us. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man will do to me. Amen. The Lord is my helper. The government is not your helper. Your plans are not your helper. The Lord himself, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he is your helper. Hallelujah. And even when you think you are alone, you are not. You are not. You got to stir up your faith. Remember what God has done for you, what Christ has done for you. Why? You got to stir up your faith because without faith, Hebrews 11, 6, it is impossible. Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. No, he's not going to reward you with the big bank account and the houses and all those things. He's going to reward you with a house in heaven. He's working on it right now. The reward to seek him because you look beyond it, just like Jesus looked beyond the cross. The joy that was set before him. Romans 8, 31 through 39 says, what shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God and making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Love of Christ. Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He loved us before we loved him. For I am persuaded, and now you be persuaded, folks. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or the things to come, when men's hearts fail them, folks, nor any other created thing, why? Because he's the creator of all things, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, nothing separates us. Psalm 118:5-9, I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire in those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. That prince of darkness is going to rise one day, and everyone's going to put their confidence in that man, the son of perdition. The only fear that we should have is reverential fear for the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, and he is on our side. That gives you confidence to say, like David said in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. You have confidence in the blessed hope, folks. When fear comes crashing in, and it does every single time, we deal with this carnal side of our lives, right? This carnal nature. When you get some news, that fear rises up its ugly face. I've shared this with you before. Go vertical, not horizontal. Focus on the Lord, not the enemy, not the circumstances. Last summer, we were on vacation, and Jeffrey was swimming. He was standing on the ledge, and he fell into the pool, and he almost drowned. Up to that point, he didn't want anything to do with swimming in the pool. Just stand on the steps. I'm good. But in May, when we had gone down to Florida, I asked Jeffrey, I said, hey, do you want to get in the pool? So I said, well, let's ride the train. And I grabbed this little donut, and he got in the water, and we spent an hour going round and around on that donut. The difference was he was focused on his father and not the water. Do you get what I'm saying? He was focused on the father and not the water. And he changed his focus, and he had the time of his life. And now, though still cautious, he has a wonderful time playing in the pool and swimming. Now take it biblically. Do you remember when Elijah called fire down from heaven on the mountaintop, this great experience? He ran faster than the chariots, yet the word of Jezebel struck fear in him. He said, I'm going to kill you. And his focus changed from God, vertical, to his circumstances that were horizontal, right in front of him. In 1 Kings 19, he's like, I'm the only one left. Isn't that the truth? When we get to those points, we feel like we're the only one. We're the last one standing. There's no one there to help us. And then suddenly a group text pops up. He's literally at the point, he's at depression. He says, just take my life, God. Yet God tells him in a still, small voice that you are not the only one left. There is a remnant. I always keep a remnant. And he was restored. You see, fear dictated his expression. And whatever you fear becomes your master. And fear and circumstances became his master. His focus changed. And if the Lord is your master, then guess what? There is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You need to get a hold of looking at the Savior. Keep your eyes on that which is beautiful. That song, Keith Green, oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds in me. When fear comes, you let that drive you deeper to knowing him, to experiencing his grace, to experience your Savior, because he is acquainted, folks. He knows what we deal with. He knows how an anxiety and fear can overtake us. This meeting at the I was at the doctor's past week, and I had some things cut off my stomach. And the enemy would love to have rattled me. But I just said, no, I'm going to trust in you, Lord. You're in control on that. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. He knows you. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He knows every hair on your head. Isn't it nice to know that a God knows you? The God who created the heaven and earth knows you personally. He knows your inner thoughts and your desires. And he cares for you. When fear overtakes and overpowers our thoughts, God is there in the very present help in times of trouble, just as Psalm 46 says. And it says, be still and know that I am God. Quit striving. He's in control. He will be exalted and glorified. Caitlin asked that. What's exalted? I said, are you lifting up God on high? Are you exalting God when those thoughts come crashing in? Because he is greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. To rise above the fear, rise above your enemies. You change your focus, my father said. You change your future. Go vertical, not horizontal. And when you mess it up and your shift focuses, guess what? You repeat. It's like rinse and repeat. Repeat. Redirect. Go vertical in prayer. Prayer is a powerful tool. Amen. You get to commune and talk to God, and he listens to you. Do you understand when you like you are approaching the throne room of God, talking to the maker of heavens and earth? You and I, this little speck on this entire earth. See, our human nature allows fear and anxiety to come back knocking, and Satan certainly knows how to push those buttons, doesn't he? He knows how to push a thought or an image or a headline in the news. An image or word that takes your focus. Do you remember when Christ was taken captive by the Sanhedrin? Christ told Peter, Satan's looking to sift you. Peter's like, no, I won't deny you, Lord. I won't deny you. Yet his focus shifted and he's sitting by the fire and a girl said, yeah, you're one of his followers. You were with him. Not me. I never knew him. His focus shifted. And this happens to each and every one of us, folks. We think we are past the moment and then fear comes back. Something new comes in. Guess what? You go back and do your first love over. You seek him. You stir up your faith. You go vertical. You seek him and approach him in prayer. What better way to commune with your Lord and Savior than to talk to him? Shift your focus vertically to your Lord and Savior. Cry out to him. Where's your help come from? Lift your eyes up to the hills. That's going vertical. Stand on the promises of his word. Our Lord and Savior took the wrath of God upon him. He was forsaken and separated so that we could be justified by faith in Christ alone, and reconciled back to God. So by grace we are saved through faith, not of works. It's faith in Christ, and his grace is sufficient for you. And I, that is his empowering presence for us to do and be what we cannot do and be on our own. It's so much more than unmerited favor. On your own, fear will conquer you. In him and through his grace, you are more than a conqueror. And when the enemy wants to tell you that, say, no, no, no. More than a conqueror. Therefore, you approach the throne room in your time, in your need of time of need. You petition him. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 says, seeing that we have a great high priest, only one, who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. The God-man. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Seek his ways. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right way of doing things. How do you know his ways? You got to read it. That's how you get to know his words. And guess what happens? The more you read it, the more you recall it. You don't even need the book in front of you. It's a living word. Psalm 1, when you get that word inside you, loves the law, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And you will bring forth kingdom fruit, and your leaf will not wither when tribulation and stress and fear and anxiety come in. Your soul will prosper because his word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And that path is the path you should be taking. Bathe yourself in prayer. Cover yourself in his word. There will be no room for fear and anxiety to creep in then. Be steadfast in your faith, right? Stand firm and wait on the Lord. Psalm 27, 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, that's the toughest one. It's the hardest part, right? It's just like the word soon, right? Soon, wait. We get stressed and anxious in the waiting. You want to get on to that next step, right? Yep. And then the enemy says, well, what if God doesn't come through? Anxiousness creeps in, fear. Your heart starts to waver. And suddenly something that you gave to the Lord, you take back. I'm going to take control of it. I'll figure this out. I'll decide that next step. I'll control the circumstances with my own solutions. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. You know, as you grow in the Lord, and I found this, when I first was walking, this is like 5 years ago, folks, like prayer. I didn't pray in the small things. But I find myself more and more now just stopping and praying. And as you grow more in the Lord, you should be doing the same. Pray without ceasing. Well, how do you do that? That means you're just constantly tuned in. It's like the radio station, right? Getting into the right dial. Otherwise, you get the static. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. I don't know why these things are happening, but I give thanks to you because all things work together for your good. Let your requests be made known to God. And because you do that in prayer, in supplication, and you give thanks, what happens? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. All understanding. We have our minds can only comprehend 2% of what God is. Do you understand? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. Prayer, supplication, give thanks. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind. That is a strengthening that is happening. Your mind and heart is guarded because now the thoughts come in and you're doing what? 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because you have the peace that surpasses all understanding. I love how Scripture is intertwined. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Who is Christ? The living Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You're replacing those ungodly, fearful thoughts with godly thoughts. Meditating on His Word. Speaking to the problem and to the thought. Just like Jesus spoke with the Word against Satan in the desert when he was tempted. You're using the sword of the Spirit. You're standing in the armor of God, steadfastly waiting patiently on the Lord and His direction, and He will be faithful. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, as I'm closing here, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. We get weary. Neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable, and He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. What was that scripture in Luke, right? Hearts failing. But those who wait on the Lord, you guys know this, shall renew their strength. Yes, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because we're running the race of faith. Right? Who is at the end of the race? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There is coming the time, folks, where those who are not in Christ will faint out of fear, but not you. Not you. You are of good courage. You are strong in the Lord. That is not your destiny. He has created a place for you that you may dwell in His house forevermore, and you will be with the Lord forevermore. The times down here are going to get tougher. More tough. I don't know what the right English. I got that Florida education. Fear is going to try to keep, it's going to, you like that, didn't you? Fear will try to, fear is going to try to creep in. It's a tactic of the enemy. I think about Elisha and his servant, and the armies are coming. And Elisha said, I pray that you open the servant's, my servant's eyes. And he looked behind him, and the army of the Lord was behind him. That is powerful. Beloved, be strong, immovable, steadfast in your faith. Go vertical, stay vertical, with your eyes focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, my faith. And if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't put your faith and trust in Him, today is that day. For those listening online, those who hear this, if you hear this in the future, when the times are growing weary and your heart wants to fail you, you can put your faith and trust in Jesus on the rock, and the storm will not sweep you away. Amen. You must, A, admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. And because we've fallen short, God demands payment. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death.
100% guaranteed. 100% guaranteed. It's going to happen. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Admit you're a sinner. Repent. Metanoia, change of mind, change of direction. You are an enemy of God. Now you are folded into the family because you believe. You believe, not just I believe and I'm going to go live my life. I'm talking about believing in your heart. You're fully persuaded. Believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. If you believe he is Lord, you're going to live for him. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but you're going to grow more like him every day. It's called sanctification, folks. Romans 10, 9 through 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And see, call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, for those who were feeling maybe overwhelmed today, that this message had built them up, that they can go out into the world and proclaim, that you would give every person here an opportunity to proclaim you, Jesus, to let their light shine in this dark, dark world. All glory to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. You're dismissed.